There are many different ways to run a seminar effectively, but preparation is important on the teacher or instructor's part. The student should be given work to do before the seminar. In other words, they should be prepared when they come into the seminar. And secondly, I find it really helps if you can tie the topic of the discussion to possible exam questions or the kind of question they might get in an exam and how this discussion is going to help when they come to that exam. So if you can show the relevance of the topic that you've asked them to prepare to the exam, that will enable them to come more motivated and better prepared to the seminar. And thirdly, the choice of topic or questions for discussion is really important. The wording must be open enough that it will encourage discussion, but must be focused in such a way that students have to draw on the key concepts that you want them to cover in the seminar. Once you've got them in the room, I like to ensure that as many students as possible participate. And one way of doing that is to artificially limit each student to a maximum of 2 minutes to make a single intervention, although they can make multiple interventions. What you don't want them to do is try to dominate and take over the seminar. You want to get as many students participating as possible, as many views as possible. You could use a debate format if the topic lends itself to either one side or another. Often, though, the better topics don't do that. It's not a sort of binary division. But students like the debate format, particularly if you arrange it with in a proper way to support a debate and a vote at the end. I would, as an instructor, keep the right to intervene and challenge students, particularly questions like, well, where did you get that information? If you went to another source, do you think you might get a different interpretation? I would challenge superficial responses or a response that is just obviously giving back what maybe they heard in a lecture or read in a book, and get them to, I would challenge the idea and make them defend the idea. And obviously compare and contrast, put one point of view forward and then contrast it with another. And then get the students to debate that as well. In terms of the second question, actually, I've already made an intervention on Chapter 13, Section 5, that really deals with this. And I think you'll probably be in a better position once you've got to Chapter 13 to answer that question than now. But you might want to try doing it now and then see how that compares after you've got through the book and got to chapter 13 and see whether your response would be any different.